From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his series of studies explaining the basic teachings of each of the books in the New Testament. Today, he brings the next portion of a message entitled, The Faith of God's Elect, a Study of the Epistle to Titus. The Apostle Paul gave Titus the task of preaching to a church that was located in the midst of a vile society, a church which was being influenced by the wickedness around them, as well as by false teachers in their own ranks. Fully aware of the opposition Titus would face, Paul sent him with credentials validated by Paul's own authority as an apostle of Jesus Christ. Titus's assignment was to present the body of truth which defines the true gospel, the central themes of which are God, grace, godliness, and glory. This is the sound doctrine to which Paul refers in the opening chapter. It is this to which the church must adhere and preach in every age and to every nation. Paul was not interested in man's ideas. His mandate was to preach what God had declared through his Son, salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly. First, please enjoy this brief devotional thought found in C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, It Will Not Be Long. The text is James chapter 5 and verse 8. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. The last word in the canticle of love is, Make haste, my beloved. And among the last words of the Apocalypse we read, The Spirit and the Bride say, Come, to which the heavenly Bridegroom answers, Surely I come quickly. Love longs for the glorious appearing of the Lord, and enjoys this sweet promise, The coming of the Lord draweth nigh. This stays our minds as to the future. We look out with hope through this window. This sacred window of agate lets in a flood of light upon the present, and puts us into fine condition for the immediate work or for suffering. Are we tried? Then the nearness of our joy whispers patience. Are we growing weary because we do not see the harvest of our seed sowing? Again, this glorious truth cries to us, Be patient. Do our multiplied temptations cause us in the least to waver? Then the assurance that before long the Lord will be here preaches to us from this text, Establish your hearts. Be firm, be stable, be constant, steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Soon will you hear the silver trumpets which announce the coming of your King. Be not in the least afraid. Hold the fort, for he is coming. Yea, he may appear this very day.
Seems wrong, but I
As you hear in the introduction to these broadcasts, Let the Bible Speak seeks to present Christ in all His fullness. Are you seeking to present the gospel of Jesus Christ to some loved one, some neighbor, or someone with whom you work? We're pleased to offer you a booklet by Dr. Alan Cairns that is an excellent evangelistic tool. It's entitled, The Gospel of Salvation, Full, Free, and Final. In this little book, Dr. Cairns finds a balance between those who admire the message but keep it to themselves, and those who, in their haste to present the gospel, do not take time to examine its true content, and therefore never really present it in its beauty and fullness. Dr. Cairns understands the gospel, as it is presented by Christ, to be the fullness of God, and he presents it freely to all who will believe. Furthermore, he explains that the salvation declared in the gospel, once received and experienced, is final. The believer is kept by the power of God, and nothing can separate him from the love of God. For a free copy of The Gospel of Salvation, just contact us. You may write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may email your request to ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Ask for The Gospel of Salvation, Full, Free, and Final by Alan Cairns.
Impossible for any man to say anything meaningful or right or true about God. And the answer should be abundantly clear and plain. There should be no disputing this. The only thing that we can say about God is something that God has first said about Himself and has made it known to us. Cornelius Van Til, the great apologist out of Westminster Seminary, now with the Lord. He's the man who produced what are called presuppositional apologetics. If you don't understand that, just grin and say hallelujah. You'll get to heaven just as well without understanding it. And I say that as somebody who greatly admires the system. But Van Til used to say that when God created man, He created him to be the, not the interpreter of God, but to be the reinterpreter. To think God's thoughts after him. To say about God what God said about himself. And if that was true in the initial creation, how much more true is it today in this fallen world where men's minds are darkened by sin and their hearts are corrupted by iniquity? Where we would rather believe the lie than believe the truth, when the light that is in man is darkness. In this situation, how much more do we need to stick to what God says about himself? God is, and God has spoken. Those are the two fundamental postulates of all Christian theology. God is, and God has spoken. There is but one true and living God. Jeremiah 10, verse 10 says that Jehovah is the true God. He is the living God and an everlasting King. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in his great high priestly prayer in John 17 and verse 3, said, "This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." The Apostle Paul spoke to the newly converted people in Thessalonica, and he said, "Ye turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God." There is but one living and true God. I want you to understand that. The Bible knows nothing of this mangling of words and this stupidity that is taken to be so politically correct that it has invaded even the vocabulary of professing Christians. And you'll even have evangelicals standing up making common cause not only with papists but with cultists and with heathens. And they will talk about people of faith. What on earth are they talking about? People of faith? Hindus believing, if I'm to believe this Bible, they believe in devils, they worship devils, and they're people of faith. And then, of course, we have those wonderful medical studies. Oh, the stupidity that people will believe. That we have found that if you're one of these people of faith, you hear better. Seems to say it doesn't matter what you believe or who you believe, just as long as you've some belief system, you're going to heal better. It may be that positive thinking does have some good to do in the body, but all the positive thinking about the devil in the world is going to damn the soul. Not going to save it. Atheism is folly. The fool hath said in his heart, "There's no God." Polytheism is a lie. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools when they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like the corruptible man and birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Idolatry is a damnable heresy. Listen, God is what he has said he is. I've been interested in reading through the prophecy of Isaiah again, how the Lord emphasizes, "I am God, there is none else. I am God, there is none else. I am God." And then along with that, there is a series of texts in which he says, "I declare." Who else can declare? Who can declare the beginning or the end? Who can say anything about anything at all of any significance? Who can talk about God? Who can talk about creation? Who can talk about the end? Who can talk about heaven? Who can talk about hell? Who can talk about the soul? Who can talk about the needs of man? Who can say anything about the salvation of the soul or the well-being of the soul? Who can say anything? And he says, "Summon all your idols." What have they ever had to say that's a word of truth? What light or sight has ever come from a false god? None whatsoever. He says, I declare, and none else." Oh, that we would understand this. This is the fundamental truth of the whole gospel. God. God. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, because He has revealed Himself fully and finally in the person of His Son. This is where the gospel gets utterly exclusive. Utterly exclusive. I remember when Dr. McClelland was on a nationwide television program up in Canada before the first papal visit, and he was opposing it. And he was on this panel with an Anglican priest, a Roman Catholic priest, a Jewish rabbi, and of course he was there. He was meant to be the kid that was going to be burned, but it turned out otherwise, of course. Man, did it ever. But I remember the Jewish rabbi just turning to him and looking at him and saying, "Frank, are you saying that unless I come to Jesus Christ, unless I become a Christian, I will not be saved?" He'd obviously never met anybody who would ever tell him such a thing. All the apostate liars he had ever met, masquerading as Christians, had told him, as long as we're all sincere in what we believe and do all the best we can, we're going to make it there. And now he's meeting somebody who takes this Word of God seriously, this Bible seriously, and says the truth. God has revealed Himself fully, finally, utterly, exclusively in Jesus Christ. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by or in His Son. That's the final revelation. He is the Logos. He is the Word of God. He is the full and final, complete self-expression of God. God's revealed truth about Himself is all in Jesus Christ. By the way, that's one way of knowing that Islam is a satanic lie. There's no prophet with a new revelation after Christ. He's God's last word. So Muhammad was not God's prophet. Neither was Joseph Smith or any other professed vehicle of a new revelation. John said, "We know that the Son of God is come, and hath given us an understanding that we may know Him that is true. And we are in Him that is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ." This is the true God and eternal life. And that's where the gospel starts. It starts with God. Obviously, then, it has to immediately go to grace. Because as I indicated this morning, when you think of how great God is and how insignificant we are, only grace can bridge the gap. Grace, the next obvious theme that Paul takes up. You see, the great question that faces all mankind, the Bible raises it. Job chapter 9 verse 2, Job asked his so-called comforters, "How should a man be just with God?" How should a man be just with God? They didn't like the question. I know they didn't like the question because they blethered and they went on and on and on, multiplying words and accusations against God's servant when he was already deeply afflicted. But they never took up that question. Until chapter 25, when one of them simply repeated it. In other words, they were saying, "We have no answer. How shall a man be just with God?" Now, there are people, of course, who try to give answers. And there's a whole lot of people who tell you how to be saved and how to have peace with God and how to live right and how to die right. In my first church, in a little place called Dunmurry, outside of Belfast, Northern Ireland, there was one woman who started coming in. She wasn't saved. She went on for quite a while unsaved. We would pray for her. I would visit with her. I witnessed to her. She was visibly moved. Until the Lord finally opened her heart and brought her to Christ. And when she entered into the peace of the gospel, she told me about going to see her Episcopal minister. She was a member of the Church of Ireland. That's the Episcopal Church in Ireland. Her minister was nothing less than a canon. He hadn't enough pop to blow the cork out, I'll tell you that. I mean, the man was an absolute apostate. She went to him under conviction of sin. And she asked him, what should she do? And he put his hand in his pocket. And he gave her a cigarette. And he told her to go and smoke that and calm her nerves. Any wonder we hate apostasy and apostates? But how can a man be just? How can I be saved? And how can I be sure I'm saved? This little epistle of Titus gives the answer. And it points obviously to the work of Christ. In chapter 2, it speaks of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, verse 14, that he might redeem us unto himself from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people. That's a people of his personal possession, zealous of good works. In the next chapter, chapter 4, after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness that we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed in us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace. How can a man be just with God? By his grace. By his grace, not by works of righteousness, but by his grace, saved by mercy, brought to regeneration and renewal by the Holy Ghost, all through the mighty purifying and redeeming power of the sacrificial death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace that is greater than all our sin. You know, when you stop to think of it, it is good news when God tells a man he's a sinner. That's good news. Not good that he's a sinner, but it's good news because now we know what's wrong and there's an answer for sin.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening. and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.